O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
You know, I think in this text today, someone's pretty mad. They've been ripped off. Either they've been ripped off or they're fearful of being ripped off. Now, those of us who've lived a long time have lived through a lot of these circumstances. We know when someone's very upset because they got mom silver and the other daughter was really supposed to be the one to get it. We know what it's like to be upset when someone, the aunt leaves someone money but not the same amount to the other children. We know what it's like when someone swoops in and takes the family fortune and doesn't divide it the way it was supposed to be. We know these things. We know what fairness is, don't we? We have a sense of strong, fair play. Now, my first inclination is I want to get in there and straighten it out. I want to make it all right. I want to get all the goods together. I want to redivide them so that everybody can play in the sandbox happily. Right? Not what Jesus does. Not what Jesus does at all. Jesus looks at the man and says, you know, he's not mad at him. He's not upset with him. He just says, you know, I'm not an arbitrator. I'm not getting in on that level. I'm not dealing with who has the most greed. Then he goes into this parable about this rich man. This rich man whose land has produced abundantly. This man has probably had servants working the land. This land was the product of generations of people working in it, building it up. But he is at the pinnacle of this, and he has received great abundance. And so then we have this man having a soliloquy with himself. He's talking to himself. He has a 60-word soliloquy where he's discussing, what shall I do with all my goods so that I might have enough for the future and live happily ever after? If you look at that soliloquy, something like 12 times he's used I and me. He is not even talking to anyone. This soliloquy is addressed to his soul, which is his own psyche. He's talking to himself. He's the only person in this equation. So I'm wondering if Jesus isn't bringing a parallel and telling you, reminding the young man, when you came to me, you didn't say, you know, Jesus, there's some things that are unfair going on. Do you suppose you could help us arbitrate and get it fair? The young man says, no, I want my inheritance, and I want you to make sure this my brother gives it to me, and it's fair, you know, and I get my fair share. Both of these men, the young man who spoke to Jesus and the foolish rich person, were concerned about one person, themselves, totally locked up in themselves and what they had. And if we look at this gospel reading today, once again, it's about perspective. It's about getting a new perspective. If we look back these past few weeks, remember when Mary and Martha were in the house and Jesus comes and Martha's in the kitchen busy working and she comes out and Mary's listening to Jesus and she says, Master, make her help me. You know, there's more work in the kitchen that needs to be done. Jesus doesn't hate Martha. Jesus says, Martha, your perspective's off. Sit here and listen to me. When we go back earlier than that, we have the Good Samaritan. We have the poor man that's wounded on the side of the road. The good church people walk around him for fear that maybe it's a setup. Maybe the poor person's pretending to be sick and then everybody will jump in when he stops. You know, maybe that's what's going on here. We don't know what's going on here, but for some reason, everybody skirts the issue. The Samaritan, who's not even a good Jew, stops, helps the man, and then sees for his future care. He had a different perspective. Jesus constantly is challenging our worldview, challenging where we put our values, what is important to us, where do we feel abundance. The rich man talking about his barns. We have barns. We have temples. We have ourselves, our bodies. We have holdings. What's inside of them? What's inside of them? Are we collecting for ourselves so that when we die, all that is stored will turn to rot? Are we filtered away without any sense of the toil that's gone into it? What is in our barns? Some of us may have money. Most of us don't. Most of us don't have great wealth. Some may. And I don't even think Jesus is talking about just writing checks all the time. Although if I were, you know, looking for pledges, I would probably put a plug in for that now. But you can even write checks and have the wrong attitude. What he wants is a change of heart.
He wants a change of heart so that what's inside of us, that great abundance that's inside of us, will flow out freely. As we love, our capacity to love grows. As we treat people with kindness, our capacity to see God in other people grows. If we have money and an opportunity to help, we do help. If we see people around us or hear of people in need, we do reach out to people in need. But most importantly, Jesus says our hearts have to be open. Our hearts have to be open to receive so that we may give. And that this continual giving will grow and grow in us. As Paul says, we need to think of things that are heavenly. We live in this world, but we are not basically of this world. Talk to anyone in their 80s or 90s, they know they're not of this world. They know the parameters of life. But what we do have is time today, time now, to open the storehouses of our soul and let God's love flow. Let his concern for others flow so that we may be directed. So that when our end comes, we're ready to meet God. We're ready to leave what is ever here and go ahead. We're not held down by it. You know, if we look even at the Genesis story, if we think about it, Adam and Eve had this open dialogue with God. But then the snake came in. And we have the story of the snake. Suddenly, the snake's telling them they're naked, so they're running around trying to find clothes. What happened there was that they started listening to the snake. And once we start listening to the other gods, the gods of materialism, the gods of fear, the gods of self-worth, the gods of social hierarchy, when we start listening to these gods, that's when we lose sight of that which is eternal and that which is inside of us. You know, there's an old saying that some of you have probably heard, and that you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And I think as Christians, constantly we're called to send it on ahead so that our lives will be a blessing to others. And in being a blessing to others, we will see the glory and power and love and presence of God in our midst. Amen.